everyone, and welcome to minute 50 of season 3 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1988 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today to finish off the week is Kurt Kenny, award-winning editor, producer, director, writer, composer, filmmaker. Welcome back to the show, Kurt.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining me. This has been a very fun week, and I've enjoyed myself. Hopefully you have too. And today we'll actually even get some dialogue. We haven't had very much dialogue in the last three. I think on Monday we had dialogue, and then there was nothing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, except for a few Bruce Willis exclamations about everything that's going on. But today we get a little bit more of the dialogue, which yep. we'll talk about a little bit. So minute 50. First of all, I'm surprised that we're already at 50 minutes. I mean, this whole movie is 132 minutes, so I'm almost at the halfway point. We're getting closer to the halfway point here. A lot of fun.
So the movie doesn't. So the minutes don't divide evenly by five. How do you work that out for your show?
How do I work that out from guest wise?
Because if you're doing 5 minutes per week, but then you must run out at a certain point, right? Like the last episode must be 2 minutes.
I've done this on the previous two seasons, and I'll be doing it here too, is that I will have episodes come out on the weekends. So this movie works out well that I have basically two extra episodes. So, I will actually be finishing everything on New Year's. So New Year's is a Sunday. So we'll have second to last episode on Saturday and the last episode on Sunday, so that we can start season 4 come Monday, the day after. I don't stop. I keep going, plow through them one at a time. I haven't decided what I'm doing on season 4 yet. That's a separate issue. But as I've just established, we have a few months for me to decide.
Sure.
So I'm not. I have ideas. I'll have to think about what I want to do, but we'll see as that comes through. So you see, there are ways around it. Part of the thing is that people who don't start another season right afterwards, so then for them it doesn't make a difference if they have a week that has 2 minutes in it. They'll end the show on a Tuesday. But because I'm a completionist, and I was told that it's a no-no to start a new show, on any day besides a Monday. So I decided that what I'll do is I'll just cram in stuff over the weekends. So in Planes, Trains, Automobiles, I had three episodes I needed to cram into the weekend. So the final week started on a Sunday and went till the following Sunday, basically. But that was actually, Dana was on that week. She was on I think Tuesday and Wednesday of that week. I just split it up that way. I don't always have the same. The same guest. There are weeks that the guests have less episodes, depending on preference. So, does that explain it? Does that work?
Yeah.
All right. Indeed. All right. So, episode 50 begins with Hans still trying to get info via the walkie-talkie, and ends with John hanging from the gun strap. All right, we're gonna leave people hanging over the weekend. That's for sure.
literally.
Exactly. Well, we're only gonna be leaving John McClane hanging, but all of my guests will be hanging to find out what happens. But we'll get there. So we ended yesterday's minute with Fritz trying to explain to Hans what's going on, or at least that's what we assume, because he's speaking in German. We don't know exactly what he's saying. And, we know that Hans is trying to get information from Carl, and we can see that Carl doesn't want to respond. And eventually the answer is he's in the elevator shaft. And at this point, Fritz says something more in German. And, at this point, we see the shot of John, climbing feet first outside of the empty window where he, where he popped the grating out of, which again, it goes back to the agility of John McClane slash Bruce Willis. we get some great shots of him, doing this. He's done enough gymnastics, I guess, for this type of thing. Mm-hmm. Don't know. And, Hans then begins to try and reason with Carl, which is really funny because, we know that Hans is the one in charge. So why doesn't he just say, tell me what's going on and give, bark orders, as opposed to he always tries to do it in a suave way. The way, he's trying to convince Carl, as opposed to, giving him an order and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, as this is all happening, as this conversation is happening, so we see John. So as I said, he's sitting on the windowsill, or not even a window, but he's sitting on the entrance of the vent, or what would we even call that? It's not really a window. He's sitting on the sill, though. That's what he's doing.
Yeah, but, it's I don't know what you call it. the grate frame or something.
Yeah, because then he pushed
the frame out, so I don't know what it is. But
and we can clearly see that he has put his pistol in the front of his pants. Mm-hmm. Not a very safe place to put a pistol. I hope that he has his safety on. But next week we'll talk about the fact that it must be very uncomfortable to be crawling on his belly with a gun there. But that's just a little bit of a preview for people who can't wait to find out what happens next week. And at this point, the Hans's response to basically the Fritz to pass on to Carl is perfect. The elevators are locked off. He can't escape. Just shut him in and come back down. And, he's just not happy at all about this. Carl doesn't want to pay attention. He pretty much ignores what's going on. And at the same time that we see John, from the inside out, it's from inside of the room that he was in before, and he picks up the gun that's on the ground and uses that to try to, wedge himself in to be able to lower himself down. And as he's like sliding down, he goes, "Oh, which again, just comes out of nowhere. That's just personality of John McClane. Nothing else that you can really do about that. And then we have a shot of Fritz, as Hans is once again talking, he's trying to reason with them. And Hans says, "Carl, the police are probably on their way already. Carl." And Carl just isn't really paying any attention. He doesn't really care. He wants, and Fritz, if you look at him, he looks really scared to be caught in the middle of these two people. He's basically the operator between the two of them, the go-between. And he looks as if, if I was in that situation, I would just say, "Okay, talk to each other yourselves. Don't go through me. I don't really need to be. I don't want to be a part of this."
Sure.
You can see the tension.
I appreciate about this movie in particular is how inventive it is with just the few things they've given the character to work with. Like, okay, what has he got? He's got a hole, an elevator shaft, and a gun. Well, he can prop the gun up to make it something that can hold him in place, so he can try to swing down to the next hole. So it's just a really, that kind of thing is all throughout this movie, of just using what's in the environment in a very clever way to, get out of a situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And they do it really well because, they, as we've discussed all week, there are things that pop up that we see that later on, are important. So, they knew to put certain props in certain places, knowing that, okay, we're going to need this a little bit later.
Yeah, so but it also makes sense that it's there too. Yeah.
Correct. No, it's not like they're just going to find an umbrella somewhere. It's like it's something that fits within the situation, but it's also usable. You know, it's like a few weeks ago with the whole idea with the Santa Claus hat. You know, he saw the wrapping and stuff like that, where he's able to, you know, dress up Tony. You know, which he didn't do it that way in the script. That was something that they decided on the spot, I guess, to change. You know, writing ho, ho, ho on his sweatshirt isn't in the script. He puts a little piece of paper that he attaches to his collar saying that. You know, and then some of them came up with the idea that, hey, why don't we just put it on the shirt instead?
You know, probably easier. Yeah, they probably got to like rehearsing it and realized this is tiny. You have to go in for a close up this way. If it's written on the shirt, you can just see it. You know, so you don't have to like punch in for a separate shot or something. Yeah, so it's a lot more visually helpful, I think.
Yeah, for sure. But it works better that way also. It also has become more iconic. You know, having just having it on a little piece of paper isn't going to make that a quotable quote. Obviously, they didn't know about the internet when this movie came out. But, you know, it's become very iconic, you know, seeing, you know, shirts with, you know, someone with a Santa Claus hat saying, ho, 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 now I have a machine gun. You know, that's not something that, you know. All right, what can I tell you?
I doubt usually when you're making something, you aren't thinking, oh, this is going to be quoted by people. You're just hoping you get to finish it and anybody goes to see it.
Of course.
So that's the furthest thing I think from your mind is like, oh, people are going to quote this or something. You know? So,
no, but I think nowadays people are more aware of that than they were back when this was made. You know, people are more aware, okay, what's going to work on social media? What's going to, you know, that's part of how the whole industry has changed. You know, those are things that have become more important than beforehand. You know, you mentioned earlier in the week about the fact that, you know, you were looking forward to finding a Minion Twinkie. Okay. But that goes along with the whole idea that they didn't use the promotion as you would have hoped. But you were waiting for it and expecting it because they did it the last time.
True, but in that case, it's a sequel, so they already knew they had a built-in audience at that point. In the case of this one, it was a one-off at the time that they didn't know if anyone was going to go see it or not, or going to be successful. Yeah, they had no idea if it was going to be successful or whatever. So I think in this one, it's trying to make the best.
Yeah, idea. No, I wasn't. I was saying that nowadays things are different. That's all it comes down to. Because everyone is looking to you know, back in the 80s, people were not looking to make a franchise. You know, they were hoping that it would be nice, but that wasn't today. That is the whole plan of just about every movie that comes out that, okay, how can we make this a franchise?
The word franchise was reserved for things like McDonald's.
Exactly.
It hadn't been applied to movies
That's
yet.
Right. That's true. For sure. And then we get another great shot of John dangling out of this. We're still going to call it a windowsill, even though it's not. But he's dangling into the elevator shaft, you know, climbing down, like rappelling down, and it's done really well. I mean, you once again get to see, you know, his muscles as he's going down, but it's still he still looks like the everyman. This isn't Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger bursting vein muscles. This is your typical.
I mean, he's in good shape. Yeah. Let's not. But yeah, it's very true. Yeah. But that's true.
But you know, he still likes to rappel down as he's doing it, and we see the gun.
Yeah.
You know, teetering a little bit every time that they show it. It's not as firmly in there as John would probably have hoped, but it's still able to hold his frame, which is pretty good also. You know, that would have been terrible if they couldn't hold his frame and that would have been it, you know?
Yeah.
And then once again, he screams out Christ, you know, and you know, it's also good to see that the strap is really long on the gun. You know, he's able to get down pretty far. I mean, again, he's trying to go down an entire floor. You know, so what's a floor? 8-10 feet, something like that. You know, maybe even more. Maybe the floor is
a lot. Yeah,
maybe it's 12 feet. I don't know. But, you know, the strap on a gun usually isn't that long. You know, you need maybe a 2 feet maximum or something like that in order to be able to do what you need to do. you know, that type of thing. Because you just want to usually have it wrapped around, you know, wrapped around your torso. You don't really need it any more than that. But apparently, or maybe it's a magic gun belt, you know, that expands. I don't know. We'll add fantasy elements into this. You know, we're talking about Harry Potter earlier.
Well, they made it as long as they needed it to be.
Exactly. Right, so. That's right. As long as they made it, wanted it to be, as long as it doesn't look completely unrealistic. Mm-hmm. And then Hans continue. We get a shot again of Hans. He's once again talking into the walkie-talkie and says, "I can stall them, but not if they hear gunshots. If you lock him in, he'll be neutralized." And then we get a shot. of Carl. And I've always been disturbed about this particular way that he turns off the thing. He does it in an overly dramatic way. It's as if he's snapping someone's neck, but he's actually just, you know, because he like turns his hand, you know, as opposed to just like flipping the switch, you know, like he jerks his hand really fast to turn it off. So that I think it's a little overly done, but you know, it's there for the effect. I guess you can do. And
well, he's angry, yes, right?
He's angry, but again, you wouldn't jerk your arm that way to turn off a walkie-talkie. It just doesn't look.
But he's also not looking at it though. He's looking the other way.
That's true.
So he might be overcompensating because he can't see.
he's trying to find where it is. Okay, but again, look at Fritz's face. He's like, "I don't want to be here."
Pretty much.
Deal with this yourself. Leave me out of it. And at this point, we get another shot of John hanging from the strap inside the elevator shaft. And we see him dangling there for a few seconds as the minute ends. So did you have anything else you wanted to discuss about this particular minute?
No, I like the choice. I like the choice of cross-cutting between them talking to Hans and back to him in the elevator shaft trying to, you know, get out of there and get to the next thing and stay quiet at the same time. It's a great bit of suspense to the, you know, going back and forth between.
Right, and it also shows us that everything's going on at the same time. You know, partially because Carl is dealing with this issue, you know, he's Carl is avoiding Hans. This is giving John a few extra minutes to try to get out of here. You know, mm-hmm, which helps. Yeah. So the script has a few discrepancies. This time it actually appears in the script, parts of the conversation at least. Okay. There is the dialogue is a little differently. It says, Carl crosses, starts to open the door to the elevator shaft when suddenly the radio crackles with Hans's voice. "Carl, Franco, did you catch him?" And then, actually, it's Fritz here, not Franco, who's going to respond. But Fritz says, "No, but he's in the elevator shaft." And then Hans's voice, we only hear his voice through the walkie-talkie. He goes, "Perfect. The elevators are locked off. He can't escape. Just shut him in and return to base." So he says return to base as opposed to come back down, which come back down obviously makes more sense because, you know, what's the base? Holly's office.
What's
Holly's
base?
Office. You know. And then Carl says, "Hans, he killed my brother." And then Hans says, "Carl, I know you want him, but the police are probably on their way. Maybe convince them that it was all a mistake." Which doesn't make any sense for him to say that. "But not if they hear gunshots. If you lock him in, he'll be neutralized. Now do it, Carl." Carl? So I'm very glad they cut that line out of him saying, "Maybe we convinced them it was all a mistake." You know, obviously he's referring to the fact that we can convince them that the call was a mistake. But still, it just sounds really, really silly. You know, when you, especially knowing the final product here. And then it says Carl turns off the radio.
Yeah.
In the light of their flashlights, the two other terrorists look at Carl in stunned disbelief and open the door to the elevator shaft. So in the script.
Oh, so originally there are two people
with them then. Okay. But also in the script, this is all taking place in the dark. As opposed to.
Harder to shoot.
Much harder to shoot.
I mean, you can find equivalents for it, certainly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you have all the
different things.
You know, you have all the lights on the side. You know, but again, no, they have flashlights. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It I don't think it would work as well filming this type of scene in the dark, because then we wouldn't see that Fritz is trying to get out of it. You know.
Yeah. Also, then if they have to have flashlights in their hands as well as guns, it becomes prop hell for the actors too. You know, becomes
well, not just for the actors, for the terrorists to have to hold a flashlight and hold a gun at the same time. You know, makes it
The actors,
right?
The
actors. Yeah. No, obviously, as a director, you're totally concerned about the actor, but as a movie fan, I'm concerned about the characters.
Yeah, sure. Well, it just becomes how complicated do you want to make it physically?
Yes.
You know? So that's the thing.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Great. You have anything else you want to say about this minute, about the movie in general?
Yeah. I think this is a great movie. I think it still stands up all these, you know, what is it?
34
something
years
later. Right. Yeah.
As we are recording this, because we mentioned earlier this week what day this is, the movie debuted 3 days from now, 34 years ago. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We're older.
So, yeah, it's, yeah, no kidding. But yeah, so it's, I just, you know, and also one thing that I think is a masterstroke in the entire film is the fact that, you know, they open the movie with the whole fist with your toes thing in the airplane, which gets him to therefore take off his socks, which otherwise would be not motivated by anything, right?
Correct.
And, which then means that he is now barefoot for the rest of the film, which is such an obstacle for him. And I just think that was just such a masterstroke in making this movie work as well as it does, is it gives him one more thing that is just hard for him. And it gives them the you know, talking about the fact that they use every little element to the most when they say shoot the glass later in the film. And, you know, that it's just, and because he sees that he's barefoot, and it's just all those things work together so well. It's just so well constructed.
Yeah. But I mean, just to let you in on a little secret, the whole, this is based, I mean, you know, this is based on a novel, right?
Yeah.
So in the novel,
I've never read it, but I know it is.
Right. Okay. So in the novel, the same thing happens with fists with your toes. He says it a little differently, and he tells him, and he takes off his shoes. So that's an element that they got from the novel. It's
Well, it's a good element. The way it works.
They work it really well into the movie. There's no question about that.
Totally.
You know, and they keep hitting us on the head with it throughout the entire thing. So, and it worked. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, so there's no question about that. And, you know, the fact that the Twinkie comes up, like we talked about Twinkies earlier this week, Twinkie will come up in probably a few months from now, and that you can connect back to the fact that, you know, Carl is buying Twinkies. So,
yep.
You know, that works. All right, so every Friday we have a segment called Weekend Surprise, where I actually surprise my guest with some sort of segment, which they're not expecting. And what I've been doing is, you know, a lot of people, the biggest debate about Die Hard over the last 34 years is this movie a Christmas movie or not? So,
well, we watched it at Christmas.
No, that I know. But
Christmas Eve this year, so. So it was for us, I guess. Like I said, my parents were a little shocked by how violent our selection was for a Christmas movie. But they liked it.
So you would classify this as a Christmas movie?
It's an adult Christmas movie. I mean, it's not Bad Santa or anything. It's not it's not trying to poke at the holiday in a way that like something like Bad Santa does. But sure. I mean. But I always think of it first and foremost as a summer movie because that's when it came out and that's when I saw it.
Right.
You know, like, because it was a summer popcorn movie that we saw in, what was it, July of 88, and it was awesome. And so, but I think you can watch it at Christmas and it works just fine. And I still think it's kind of hilarious that people think Huey Lewis is in the movie, but he's not. those are my thoughts on it. But, I mean, we pulled it out and watched it at Christmas Eve, so I guess that answers my question.
Well, yeah, that's true. Okay, very good. That's fair. That's definitely fair. All right, well, Kurt, thank you very much for joining us this week. I had a blast. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I hope you now have opened, you know, I've opened the Pandora's box by you of you know, different types of ways of looking at movies. Who knows?
Indeed. Well, good luck with the rest of it. Hope the rest of the series goes great.
I hope so too. Hopefully I'll have some more great guests just like you.
Awesome. I hope so.
All right. So you want to tell people for the final time how they can get in touch with you?
Sure. Just go to my website, which is myname.com, KURTKUENNE.com. And there's a little thing for contact there. So.
All right. Excellent. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcatcher that you might be using to listen to the show. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me on Facebook. So have a great weekend, everybody. And we'll see you on Monday. But until then, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.